Well, let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's begin reading with verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And here's the verse. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Let's have a time of prayer. Ask the Lord to really help us tonight. Fill us with His Holy Spirit and really help us with the sermon. Would you pray for us, Brian? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He says there, he thanked God in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And this is what he was remembering. He said, remembering without ceasing three things: your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now, as Christians, we have faith, hope, and love. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when he deals with charity, he gets to the end and he talks about these three. And we have these, this faith, this love, and this hope, simply as a consequence of getting saved. We had the faith to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to believe that what he said was true and that by receiving him you would be saved. You had that faith. And he did save you. Then we found a love for the Lord Jesus Christ that drew us beyond a simple faith. And it was a love that we had for him that we never had before. It might not be much. For some of us, it might be more than it was. For some of us, it's not yet as full as we want it to be. But there's a love there for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it grew out of an understanding of God's love for us. Like the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. And I generally, when somebody extends some love to you, there is a tendency to want to respond to that love, and that's what we've done with him. And we have hope because we believe that Jesus is coming back. We really do. And we believe that Jesus Christ is coming to take us, and we believe that if he doesn't come in the rapture, that we will pass, and when we do, we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have patience. And we have a basic understanding of these things, but Paul shows us something greater about faith, and something greater about love, and something greater about hope that we ought to have as we grow as Christians. Paul thanked God, first of all, for their work of faith. You see it right there in verse 3. And you know something? Real faith will get you working for the Lord. It'll put some footsteps in your walk. Do you believe that God saves souls, particularly those that respond affirmatively to the gospel? I do. If you really believe that, you'll tell others. The Thessalonians believed it. Look at verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. That, you know what that was? They were out because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that spread. That spread. And that's what happens. They were preaching it. You know, James has a discussion in James chapter 2 about faith and works. And you know what he says? I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, a faith that truly believes the things that this Bible says will get moving on some things for the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll get to work for God. You know, the great chapter in the Bible on faith is what chapter? Hebrews chapter... Hebrews chapter 11. Absolutely. And you go down through there and you start reading about the faith of all those patriarchs in there. You know what? That faith was demonstrated by something that they did. Abel had faith. What did he do? He offered to God. He did something. Enoch had faith. What did he do? He pleased God. He walked with God. He did something. Noah had faith. What did he do? He built a boat. He became a preacher of righteousness and stood against all the wickedness that was going on in his generation, and he saved his family. Moses had faith. What did he do? He forsook the pleasures of sin for a season. You see how that faith is demonstrated by some sort of an action? A real growing faith is going to be evidenced by some kind of work. I was thinking back when I got straightened out with the Lord, September 1986, started reading the Bible. That Bible started getting in here, and the next thing I knew, there were things happening. Witnessing to clients that came into the bank. I remember when I left the bank, we got scripture signs and walked down the street. I told you about that one time and started shouting in the car, "Jesus saves." I didn't know how you preach. I just knew he does. And the sign said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And you know, you say, "Well, that seemed like a foolish thing to do." It was, but you know what? There was something in me that said, you got to do something about what you're hearing. I found out about Jack Chick and all the Chick tracks. And so I don't think Beville had ever seen Chick tracks before. And I ordered a bunch of Chick tracks, and we lived a block from the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church had bingo. And so what I'd do is I'd get a pile of these tracks, and then when everybody was in there playing bingo, I would go out to their cars and I would put tracks on their windshields and tracks in the doorknobs and, you know, just things like that. So they would have some sort of a witness. I guess they finally figured out who was doing it, but I thought I was being real covert, you know, in my operation. And I'm a banker, and I wanted other bankers to get saved, and so I'd get envelopes and address them to the other bankers and put Chick tracks in them and stick them in the night deposits, and then those envelopes were marked to the attention of the president, so they went in there. I don't know what effect sowing that seed had, but I know when we left and went to school, I got a report that two of the bank presidents actually went down to the pastor at the First Baptist Church and asked him how they could be saved. And they're both saved today. He said, all I know is that when it is in you and it's real faith, it has a tendency to start getting into your hands and into your feet, and you've got something you want to go do about what you've heard. And listen, don't resist that. A Christian who professes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and then doesn't do anything about that, it's hard to get excited about that. But when somebody has faith in God and that faith starts trembling inside of him and there is a work that follows that faith, it's easy to get excited about that. You look at that and go, "Wow, man, look what God's doing in that person's life." And that's an exciting thing. And Paul thanked God always because he saw that going on. That was a growing faith that was producing something in him called the work of faith. When God starts working in you like that, don't resist because of some fear of rejection or anything else like that. He is trying to let that work that he's doing inside of you work out on the outside of you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure. Don't hold back on that. Don't resist the impulse to do something for God that is involved in a work that follows your faith. Okay? So he not only thanked God for the work of faith, but he also thanked God for the labor of love. Now, when you really love somebody, you like to do things for them unless they ask you to do things for them. More importantly, unless they tell you to do things for them. Or maybe I should put it that way. Then you know what I'm talking about. You're married and your spouse says to you, "Take out the trash." And suddenly, "I love you, but I don't feel like doing that." a man loved his wife and never would do anything for her. After a while, it looks a little suspect, doesn't it? Any of you ever had a honey-do list? It's just a real good way to prove your love or get her off your back. I'm not sure which. Or both. No, seriously. When you love somebody, there is a desire to want to do something for them. Jesus Christ came to Peter after the resurrection and he said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes." He said, "Okay then, feed my lambs." "Do you love me?" He said, "Yeah, I do. Feed my sheep." "Do you love me?" "Yes, I do. Feed my lambs." What did Peter do? He fed them. He fed them. And then when he talks about elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, "You know what you guys need to do? You need to feed the flock of God." And he says, "You're not going to do that for filthy lucre or not by constraint." Why? There, it grows out of a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Thessalonians understood this. Look in verse 9. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." They fell in love in God, and when they fell in love with God, they left off their idols. They understood this. I remember years ago, there was a fellow that was a radio listener, and he called me. He got saved watching the Somewhere Forever video. We had some copies of that thing still in the VHS. That was something that Jim Shetler did, who was the president of the pastor of the campus church at Pensacola Christian College in Pensacola. He made that video, and it's a real clear presentation of the gospel. Mike listened to it, got saved. He showed it to his wife. She got saved. Then he started reading and studying the Bible. And when he did, he realized that the church he was in was wrong because it was a church that was involved with idolatry, the same church I came out of. He saw those idols in Roman Catholicism. He said, "That's wrong." So what he did is he got out of there. He got baptized correctly, quit an adult confirmation class right in the middle of the class, and said, "You know what? I want to go do something right for God." And he's serving God, far as I know, to this day. What is that? That's somebody that fell in love with God and then did something about it. You see, that was a good work. Here's a good way to understand this concept a little more easily. What do we call that episode in a woman's life when her baby finally gets ready to come into this world? We call that labor. That's what the word is here, labor of love. And you know what happens? A woman goes into labor, brings forth that child, and for the rest of that child's life and the children that come from that child, she's going to be lovingly involved with those kids. Any of you men ever feel a little bit neglected after the baby started coming? Well, that was a shock, wasn't it? You know what happened? She didn't labor to bring you into this world, but she did labor to bring those kids into the world. And there is a love there that is connected with that labor. You love God. Then what are you doing in your life that is an outgrowth of that love for God? Because those are connected, as you see here. The Thessalonians labored to serve God. You know, a Christian who professes to love God and then won't do anything for Him, it's hard to get excited about that, isn't it? But boy, you can really thank God when somebody comes in and says, "You know what, I love Jesus Christ." And it is manifested in what they're doing. So that's what he's talking about. "I'm thanking God," he said, "because of your work of faith. I know the faith is real because it's producing something in you that's causing you to work. And I know your love is real because it's producing something in you to cause you to want to labor for Him." Labor seems to connote more than just work. Work is something a man can do that's almost a routine. Labor is something where it seems like it takes a little heavy lifting, like there's a cost involved. You love Him at no cost to you at all. You know, I can remember that fellow that gave his vows to his wife when they got married, and then shortly after their marriage, she got very, very sick, and he became her caregiver, and this lasted really for years. And somebody suggested late through all of this when she was really, really, really in a bad case and he didn't know how long it was going to last, somebody honestly suggested to him, "You ought to divorce her and marry a woman that can actually, you know, be with you, because this is all one-sided." And he looked at that fellow and said, listen, I love that woman. And I gave her my vow that I would love her in sickness and in health. And I mean, because of my love for her, to stick by what I said I would do. You know what that is? That's love. And demonstrated in a tremendous labor. And then he thanked God for one other thing here. He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. And then this one, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. When you really hope for something, and you know it's going to come to pass, you will patiently wait for it. And sometimes that can be a little bit hard to do. Do you know Jesus is coming? Are you waiting for him? Sure. I am too, with expectation. I was told, and I really believed it, that he was going to be here May the 14th, 1989. How long ago was that? This May is going to be how many years? Yeah, 23, that'd be 24 years. Yeah, this May. It's a good thing. It's a good thing we didn't give up. Amen? Yeah, he's coming. He's coming, and you know something? It starts getting worse, and you know, we know some of the country and some of the world is affected by it. It may get a little closer to home and affect us to the point where we get tired. They do in the tribulation. They get tired, but you know what? They continue to wait. Look what he says here in verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And that's what they did. And that was a patience of hope that said, hey, you know what? It's okay. Romans chapter 8 tells us that we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Can you imagine being the bride of a soldier and you get the message that he's missing in action? If you're the bride and you really believe that he's still alive, you wait. Patiently. Now, she has no certainty to know whether her husband's alive or not. He's MIA, he's missing in action. He could be dead, he could be a POW, he could be lost. You and I have more assurance than that. Our Savior is not missing in action. We know where he is. The Bible tells us he's at the right hand of God Almighty, and he tells us that he is coming back, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we actually have a hope that is founded on fact and is founded on something in which we put our faith. Let me ask you something. You ever grown a garden? You ever grow a garden? Boy, you don't know what you're missing. You put that seed or you put that little plant that you have started in the ground. In order to get some fruit or some vegetable off of that plant, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to wait. You got to do some work on it. You got to water it. You got to fertilize it. You got to get the bugs off of there. I remember one time we planted some things, and I think we had some carrots that were in this particular garden we had. And I noticed one day the little plant went down. So, I got a mole. And while I'm out there messing around, there was another one that went down, so I know where the mole is working. And I waited until he got his teeth around the next one, and I went wham like that. And that ended his business. You know what that is? You got to tend that thing. It takes a lot of work, don't you? But you know why you keep going out there and working at it and messing with it and all that thing? You know that if you keep on taking the bugs off the plants and taking the weeds out of the garden and putting water to the plants and making sure they're properly fertilized and cared for, in time, you're going to start getting some maters. You're going to start getting some peppers. You're going to start getting some cauliflower and some lettuce and some onions and all of whatever else you put out there, and some squash and zucchini and melons and everything you have out there in that garden. You're going to start getting that if you wait. You know what? When it comes to this thing with salvation, we like to go up to somebody and say, hey, you want to receive Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And nothing happens right away. It's kind of like, well, this is a dud. And give up. But what did he say about his word? He said that if you put that word out there, it will not return void. That's what he said. And so we continue to put that out and wait patiently for the Lord's work to work when it is sown, because he told us, you sow it, there'll be a reaping. And one of the reasons that we don't reap more than we do is that we usually sow sparingly. You sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. You know, the Lord is coming back. The question is, are we doing something today that will reap a benefit in years to come? Huh? You know, it's a good thing that we have waited patiently up to this point for some things. But honestly, the faith that God has given us, when it's growing, should be manifesting itself in something more that we're doing. The love that is growing for the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be manifesting itself in something for which we are laboring, and the hope we have in Christ should cause us to wait patiently as he comes, and wait patiently while he works with the things he has given us to do. I look around here and I see guys that have spent some time now with us, Thursday night Bible studies and things like that, learning. And you know what? It took a long time to go through a lot of the things they did. And today, much more productive ministers for Christ, because they weren't in too big a hurry to get something going for Christ. Amen? Really a good thing. And I'll tell you what, just look at these things, remember these things. We have a year full of opportunity with the Fishers of Men putting Bibles out in your neighborhood or wherever your outreach journal is. You have a tremendous opportunity to talk to people with the Lord as a work of faith and a labor of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and a patience while you wait for God to do something with that word in their hands. You have the opportunity in that Junior Livestock Show to put out tracts and Bibles and actually witness to people. Listen, you know something? It doesn't really make any difference whether we come back with a whole lot of reports of people who actually prayed to receive Christ. What's important is you get to sit down with an open Bible and a willing sinner and show them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that God can do something in their hearts to bring them to Jesus Christ in due time. That's a great thing. What an opportunity. If we really have faith that God saves people who hear the gospel, and if we really love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're willing patiently to wait for the work of the gospel to work in their souls, you know what? We'll spread abroad our faith from Corpus Christi to Robstown. Like he says here in verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Corpus Christi and Annaville, but also in Robstown. I don't know. Is that what yours said in verse 8? That's what mine said in verse 8. Isn't that something? I mean, seriously. And then we have other opportunities that we'll tell you about during the year where we can do this kind of thing. And I'll tell you what, to me, it is exciting. This is the beginning of a new year and a great opportunity for us to take this and say, we are going by faith, because of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, patiently, hoping for God to do something with this, to labor in that harvest. Amen. Amen. Father, we are thankful tonight for the opportunity to be encouraged from the Scripture out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to allow us to affirm our faith in the work we do and our love and the labor that you accomplish in us, and, Father, our patience in the hope that we have been given in the return of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ soon to come and take us home to heaven. Keep us busy and occupied in your work and in your harvest till you get here. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, just ask yourself this little question. My faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of work is it producing in my life? The love that I have for the Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of labor is it producing in my life? I have the hope in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the work of his word. Am I patient enough to sow it even if I don't see a return? Just ask yourself that. I have to ask myself the same question. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that with your liberty, you'll work in our hearts now during this little time of invitation. That you can accomplish in our lives what you want to do with these words. In our lives individually and in our life as a church, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.